This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
A two-segment program today. We're going to begin by talking about urban-rural action and the Douglas County team. Amy Taylor is in. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Kyle.
So, you've got an event coming up on October 10th. We've been running a story about that today. And it caught my attention yesterday because it seems kind of unique. In fact, at first, it caught me off guard. I'm like, what? The community is invited to experience poverty simulation. Tell us what's going on.
Well, I am the project coordinator for something called Bright Futures Umpqua. We're trying to help our opportunity youth, the 16 to 24-year-olds who are not going to school and not going to work, and looking at all of the challenges that that causes for our economy and socially and all of those things, and trying to help our youth. And one of my board members said, hey, this looks right up your alley, and sent me over to Urban Rural Action. And every year, almost every year, they gather a group of individuals in the community and they make us take a little quiz about your political beliefs. So they grab people from across the political spectrum to work together to find something that will help with a problem in our communities. And this year, the issue was housing and homelessness. And so our group of eight, so we have some really great companies representative. We have people from ADAPT and Cow Creek, UCC, Sutherland Schools, the ESD, Columbia Bank. We have great, powerful individuals with just some differing beliefs, but we all got together and talked about what we needed to do to help with housing and homelessness. And what we came to was it's a really complex problem. It's not something that there's just a Band-Aid solution for. And one of the things that comes up is the stigma around being poor. And so we were made aware of a kit that you can purchase, and I've taken the facilitator training now. And what it is we're inviting 100 people to come out to the Douglas County Fairgrounds and to just kind of live that life for a day. So you would come and we would say, today you're not Kyle, today you are Ernesto, who is raising his grandchildren on Social Security. And how does that make your life differ? How are you going to make those hard choices between childcare and healthcare, or paying the rent and buying food? And it's just designed to make people realize that, well, hopefully, get a little more empathy for people who are in a different financial situation.
Well, you know, this whole area of when you're at that level and there's just simply enough, not enough to go around. And I am told that I've never had to deal with it, which I feel like I've been very fortunate. But people who have told me, you know, one month you're going to get in trouble with your landlord. The next month you're in trouble with the power company. And it just goes from there, and it cycles and it gets worse and makes you want to give up.
Yeah. There's people who are living in poverty, and that's 49% of our county is struggling. 14% are below the federal poverty lines, according to the Ford Family Foundation's new Oregon by the Numbers. So it's 14% in poverty, and then another 35% that are below what's called the Alice line. And that just means that they're living paycheck to paycheck, and they're forced to make those impossible choices, like, who am I paying this month? How are we getting to services? You know, if your car breaks down, what happens? And that's part of the simulation, is that you think you're getting by and you're doing all the things you need to do, and then all of a sudden your house gets robbed. Now what do you do? So it's an afternoon of living somebody else's life and hopefully building a little empathy for what other people are facing on a day-to-day basis, when it's really half of our county is kind of in that position.
And when you're circling through that navigational path, for instance, you mentioned vehicles, your car breaks down, you really don't have the money to fix it, while you're trying to figure that out, though, you miss a shift at work.
Exactly.
So you've made less money and possibly even gotten in trouble, depending on the situation with your employer. So, yeah, it's a tough one. Do you feel like, have you ever gone through a simulation like this yourself?
I have witnessed a couple of them. I have brought in my friend Scott Cooper from Alternative Youth Activities over in Coos Bay. He's going to come over and facilitate this one for us. And then I'm working to get a kit so that we can do this again in Douglas County and make it available as a training for any group that wants it. At one point, UCAN did a training about 9 years ago, and now that kit is with Southern Oregon Goodwill down in Grants Pass. So it's a thing that happens regularly around us, but here in Douglas County, it's been about 9-10 years since we've held one of these simulators.
So when and where is this going to be?
October 10th. You can check in as early as 8:30 a.m. We're probably going to get started around 10 a.m. But there's a little bit of training for our volunteers. But we're going to provide breakfast, thanks to Cow Creek, as well as lunch. So come out to the fairgrounds October 10th. There's a sign up on Eventbrite so we know how much food to buy.
And is there a cost for doing this?
There is not. It is free.
And how late in the day do you think you'll be going?
Hopefully we'll be done by 1 or 2. We want to do a debrief afterwards and talk to people about their experience and see how it affected them.
And so do you figure that you're going to, and people are going to come in, I mean, you're essentially going to be assigning people different names, identities, and problems. And then just sort of talk in groups and that sort of thing?
Yep, each table. So as you come in, you'll be assigned a new name, and there will be family groups in the middle of the room. And then we have our social services that you interact with, as well as a pawn shop and a childcare and a grocery store. But all of those things are going to be set up on the outside of Douglas Hall. And thanks to Scott over at AYA and we have several youth influence councils here. We're asking young adults to play those roles and have you fill out that form again. And nope, sorry, you have to go stand in that line over there. So we're giving them kind of that power to be the helpers and maybe give some of the helping organizations in our community the chance to be on the other side of it.
And for people who have never had to experience it, one of the things you mentioned in your release, it's just the whole idea of creating empathy.
Yeah, 100%. We see a lot of finger wagging on social media about how people need to just get a job. And that's a really complicated thing to do. If you've lost your driver's license and you were born in another state and your car breaks down, what are you going to do? That's a really complicated problem to solve when you also have, you know, kids to get to school and, you know, maybe an elderly parent that needs your help. People are really struggling. So it's not a simple solution to just say, get a job. 49.7% of our poor people and homeless people have a job.
Yeah. And sometimes, especially if you may have a job, but it may be not paying the best at the same time, you're a single parent.
Yeah, absolutely. People have an assortment of challenges and you never know what's going to happen. You know, you could have a spouse die and then where are you? So people can do their very best to be on top of their finances and then one medical bill or one emergency can really set their whole life off kilter. So we want to be empathetic to those people and not put them in a pigeonhole of, oh, you are one of those poor people or those homeless people. We've got to break some stigma.
So how do people sign up again?
They go to Eventbrite, and it is under Bright Futures Umpqua, because I created the account, but it is a project of Urban Rural Action, and it is called the MCAN for Missouri Community Action Network, the MCAN Poverty Simulator.
All right, we've also got a link up with our story as well at 541radio.com. Amy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1245, part two in a moment on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. We begin a series of encore programs tomorrow for Inside Douglas County. Part 2 today, Roseburg Public Library Director Chris Wiley. Thanks for making the arduous trek across the street.
Always happy to do it, Kyle. Nice to see you.
So a couple things you want to focus on. I know that recently you have been looking at the annual report of the state library and how does that connect with Roseburg Public Library?
Well, as a public library in the state of Oregon, we have to supply annual statistics to the state library. It gets compiled. We're able to see how we compare to other libraries. What I do as the first step is see how we compare to ourselves over previous years. So this is a process that we look at July 1st, in this case, of 2024 through June 30th of 2025. So it's already a couple of months old, but it takes that amount of time to get all of the pieces put in place, and I just presented some results to our library commission last couple of weeks, and then I will present it to the city council sometime over the next month.
So what are some of the things you've learned so far?
What I'm really excited about is our 4% increase in total circulation over the previous year. Not surprising, what we're seeing as the biggest increase is digital material. We had a 22% increase in digital circulation. We had a 3% decrease in circulation of physical materials. Now, that's happened because we added digital magazines to our options for folks, and we're seeing a huge increase in digital audiobooks. Other libraries have been telling us this for years. It's really coming to fruition for Roseburg residents right now.
And what about some of the information about all the youth programs and the number of people coming to the library?
You know, I always say our youth services librarian, Aurora Rapp, it does amazing work, and it really bears itself out when we look that she had 200 youth programs over that year and 7,000 attendees. It's amazing that she does so much. It's a small and mighty team, I say.
Wow. Now, you utilize volunteers. What about them?
We really do. We couldn't do all we do without the library volunteers and the Friends of the Library volunteers. And together, they served 3,200 hours. You'll see them at book sales. You'll see them when the library's open shelving materials. They just help make the library run even smoother.
And if you calculated that at just a $15 an hour rate, that's $48,000 worth of work.
I'm just so grateful to them. It's amazing. Thank you, volunteers, for all you do for us.
And what about the Friends of the Library? How are they helping you out?
Friends of the Library have a number of avenues to sell books. And I'm going to put a plug in. If you're looking to donate just some gently used materials, we take CDs, DVDs, and books, drop them off at the library's front desk during operating hours. They sell most of those books. And they donated $28,500 to the library during that fiscal year. We use that for craft kits, for speaker fees. It helps supplement the summer reading program. It's just amazing what they're able to do for us.
So now that we can use the fall word reluctantly, and October is not that far off, you kind of shift gears. What are some of the things that are coming up?
Yeah, Aurora has spent September kind of rejuvenating herself and getting the fall program set. She'll be back with Story Times. That starts Wednesday, October 1st, Thursday, October 2nd. Twice a week. It's the same story time, but there's an opportunity to attend at 10:15 either day. She also implemented a year ago a lapsit story time. So lapsits for like 6 months old to 2 years. So really those babies and the first engagement with books. That's the third Tuesday of each month at 10:15. Story time is more for the 3 to 7 year old range. Of course, anybody's welcome every time, but folks should expect stories and activities to be geared around those age groups.
What about kids that are a little bit older?
Oh, so much going on. Those programs are on Thursdays, and you want to check our website, rosebergpubliclibrary.org. Click on the events calendar, and you'll see all kinds of events. Most of them for the older, for the tweens, are at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoons. There are Legos. There's a new book club coming. There will be a STEAM program once a month, and that one's a little bit later. That's at 5:30. So check that calendar or our Facebook page. We're at Roseburg Library.
And what other things do you have coming up?
Oh, we have an all-ages chess club. That is the program that we have not had that's been the most requested. And so we have a library aide who plays chess and was interested in helping us out with that. It's going to be the first Saturday of each month. So October 4th is the first one, 10:30 to noon. We have a few chess boards, but people are welcome to bring their own. It's all ages, all skill levels, recreational chess club.
I didn't even know people still play chess.
You know, it's amazing how many people from all ages are asking us to provide this. And we had it a number of years ago. We're happy to bring it back.
Wow. That's just amazing. Let's see here. What about adult programs?
So we have, of course, our silent book group is this Thursday. It's the last Thursday of each month at 6:30. You bring any book you want. You sit and read for 45 minutes, and then we talk about what we're reading. We have the online book group, which is usually the second Tuesday of each month at 6:30 on Zoom. We do have a whole project for adults with developmental and intellectual disabilities. That's grant funded. The next program is this Thursday at 11:30 a.m. and we're going to watch a movie. And of course, there will be snacks.
And let's see here. How many staff do you guys have at the library?
We have 4 full-time equivalents. 2 of us are full-time.
And you do all these things we've just talked about and more.
We do. We love the work that we do. We get great support from the community and from folks at the city, the city council, the library commission. They encourage us to shoot for the moon. And I think that's what we try to do every day.
And over the last decade, libraries have undergone a lot of changes. You talked about digital. What are some of the other influences?
You know, we really, since COVID in particular, outreach has become an important component of the work that we do, especially in the summer months. But we love going to school carnivals. We follow Lunchbox Express once a week during the summertime. I just loved going to Roseburg High School last month for their back to school bash. Saw over 300 young people and we were giving out books. It's those opportunities are still sort of new to me. And I love that we can take the library out to the community.
Now, you've got a lot of space in the library facility, a lot of meetings that are held there, right?
You know, as we were talking about the statistics, over 1,000 meetings happened in the library during that fiscal year. So we rent space. Our Douglas ESD partners use that space. We have drop-in space at no cost for folks. You want to go to our website, rosebergpubliclibrary.org, and click on meeting rooms. There's all kinds of information about them.
And libraries around the state, what do you learn talking to other librarians?
I think we're all seeing the shift to digital materials. I think many libraries like us are seeing that kids are still reading the physical materials. Most of our, a majority of our checkouts of physical materials are for children. Almost 60% of our circulation of materials we have in the building are children's materials. And I think other libraries are seeing that too, where adults may be shifting more to digital.
Wow, interesting. So anything else about the library you want to let people know?
You know, I want to say that there are free books in the Friends Bookstore inside the library until the December book sale. Great selection of materials, mass market paperbacks, nonfiction, fiction. Most of it is for adults. There's a little section of children's materials. Anytime during library hours, we're open Tuesday and Wednesday, 10 to 6, Thursday, 10 to 8, Friday and Saturday, 10 to 2.
And if people want to find out more about any of these things that are going on, how do they do that?
RosebergPublicLibrary.org. Stop in and see us. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram at Roseburg Library.
All right, Chris Wiley, Roseburg Public Library, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.